Father, we do thank you again for this day. We pray that you would bless our time with one another. Lord, bless us as we work through 3 John. Help us to see principles that apply to us this day as we send out Rachel and Isaac. We thank you for them. We pray a blessing on them. We pray that you would help them to see your hand in their lives. I pray, Father, as they go through difficulties and trials in this launching process, through these trials, you would show them clearly your hand and your calling in their life in this direction. And I pray this in Christ's good name. Amen. All right, 3 John, verse 1. This letter is from John the Elder. So John the Apostle is writing this letter, and he's writing to Gaius, my dear friend, whom I love in the truth. So the Apostle John had this special relationship with this guy, Gaius. He loves him in the truth, and later he's going to say sort of as a child. So it seems to be that John had some relationship with Gaius that ultimately led him to the Lord. So there's this sort of spiritual father to spiritual child relationship between the two of them. He goes on to say in verse 2, "Dear friend, I hope all is going well with you and you are healthy in body as you are strong in the spirit." And so many speculate that Gaius had some health issues. He had some limitations in what he was able to do physically. Spiritually, on the other hand, he was as strong as you could possibly be. And he says, "I hope that your physical health is aligning with your spiritual health because I know you're strong in the faith." Verse 3, "Some traveling teachers recently returned and made me very happy by telling me about your faithfulness and that you are living according to the truth." So John and Gaius are not anywhere near one another. John hears from some missionaries that are out doing the work of the Lord. They came to John. And they said, "Hey, we were in this town where this guy Gaius is. I think you know Gaius. And man, he loved on us and he took care of us and he supported us. And we're so grateful for him." And John is his spiritual father, sort of, "Man, I remember when he gave his life to Christ." To hear that he's living in this way and supporting individuals, we'll see that he doesn't even know. He said, "I'm so happy to hear about your faithfulness and that you are living according to the truth," that the way he was living and the way that he was doing things with his missionaries, John says, this is according to the truth. This is how he should be living, and he's living in a way that he's living up to his call. He said, "I could have no greater joy than to hear my children are following the truth." Dear friend, verse 5. You are being faithful to God. And really in verses 5 and 6, these are the verses that I want to share mainly today. And he said, "Dear friend, you are being faithful to God for what?" He said, "You're being faithful to God when you care for traveling teachers or missionaries who pass through, even though they are strangers to you." He said, "You're being faithful to God that when these people come through your town, you say, 'Let me put you up in your house. Let me provide food for you. Let me give you some resources. Let me help recharge your batteries. What can I do for you to serve you and to come alongside you as you go out to do the work?'" And John says to Gaius, "You've been doing this, and in your doing this, it shows how faithful you are to your Lord in serving in this capacity." He goes on to say, "These teachers," in verse 6, "have told the church here of your loving friendship." And so supporting missionaries, like, money is important, but there's the emotional support and connectivity that is super critical. You go overseas, you lose everything that you're used to. You don't have the same sort of what you're used to. Depth of relationships with people, food, how you do things in your home country. And so to have friendship from far away is a super critical role. And I think that we as a church, this tiny little church, when our missionaries roll through, they constantly say, "We are so loved and supported by this church." And it's like the math doesn't equate. I don't know how we do it, but that's the report I hear from the missionaries that we support. And Gaius was getting the same report, or the same things were being said about Gaius to the Apostle John. And he goes on to say, "Please continue providing for such teachers or missionaries in a manner that pleases God. Keep on doing what you're doing, Gaius. This is pleasing to the Lord. For they are traveling for the Lord, and they accept nothing from the people who are not believers. So we ourselves should support them. We as a church should participate with the work that's happening around the world. We as a church should be giving outside of ourselves, that we as a church include in our budget, that we give financially to our missionaries. We give above and beyond when there's needs. We support them as we can. We've been doing this for Rachel and Isaac as they've been preparing. And then he says, this whole little pyramid scheme in the Bible, it's biblical. Like, it doesn't make any sense. He says, so we ourselves ought to support them so that, why? We can be their partners as they teach the truth. So somehow, as you partner with a missionary, just a couple weeks ago, we had the people from Ethiopia here. So somehow, in our relationship with them, as they do the work in Ethiopia, as they work with Muslim people, as they're sharing the light in this very dark place in the world, somehow in God's pyramid scheme, when we stand before him, we get credit too. It doesn't make any sense, but it's awesome. I think it's showing that for the one person's out there, there's 100 people behind them, and we have a very important role behind our missionaries to care for them through prayer, to care for them through sending them text messages, care packages, whatever comes up, that we have an obligation to stand behind them and with them. And as we do that, we're actually partnering with them in the work that they're doing. And it could be that one day they're wherever fill in the blank they end up. It may mean, no, God wants me to go to this very far place in the world to go spend a week with them to make them laugh and to entertain them for a week, just to encourage them. Then he goes on to say in verse 9, I wrote to the church about this, but Diotrephes, who loves to be the leader, refuses to have anything to do with us. When I come to report some of the things that he's doing and the evil accusations he's making against us, not only does he refuse to welcome traveling teachers, he also tells others not to help them, and when they do not help, he puts them out of the church. So this guy really didn't like missionaries, or he didn't like the traveling people, and he would tell people not to help them, and if they helped him, he would kick them out of the church. And the sad reality is, in American culture, the whole component of supporting and standing with missionaries overseas is a dying thing. Like we are in this super minority within churches. 50 years ago, all churches partnered with missionaries around the world. Now I would suspect that maybe like 1 out of 10 churches actually has like a vital relationship with missionaries overseas. And so this guy was doing that, and Paul says in verse 11, don't let this bad example influence you. He says, this, what he's doing is wrong. Follow only what is good. Remember, those who do good prove that they are God's children, and those who do evil prove that they do not know God. Then he says, everyone who speaks highly of Demetrius, this is a different guy, as does the truth itself. We ourselves can say the same for him. And if my memory is right, I think this guy brought the letter to them possibly, but I didn't do, this is devotional. And you know we speak the truth. I have much more to say to you, but I don't want to write it with pen and ink, for I hope to see you soon, and then we will talk face to face. So sometimes there's a time for texting. Sometimes there's a time for sending an email. Sometimes there's a time to go face to face. And while Gaius isn't a missionary, I do think that we over the years have had relationships with the people that are overseas where it's like, hey, if they want and welcome you, you can go over there and spend some time with them, talk with them face to face, have coffee with them, laugh with them, encourage them, see what they're doing so that you can better encourage them. And so with that, I'm done. At this point, Rachel and Isaac are going to come up. I think the microphone, grab the microphone from Robert. I think that'll be the best microphone so that it can get recorded. And let me turn off mine.
Okay. Thank you, Gunner. First off, Annabelle, sorry you didn't talk to me. I'm going to be a little boring. So a couple of things that Gunner said really resonated a lot. We get that it's difficult what we're doing, but we are really focusing in on trusting God in this process and in the whole training program that we're going through. And I think I've even said this before here, But Proverbs 16:9 really is an inspiration to me, because the heart of man plans his ways, but the Lord establishes his steps. We have glimpses of what we're doing. We have plans. We maybe have an end goal, vaguely. But God is the one who is actually going to see that through, and we're trusting him for all the little things along the way that we can't possibly plan for. So we really take a lot of comfort in that verse, and we understand that it's going to be difficult, so we're just going to soldier on and go for it. If you are new and you don't remember some of the things we've been saying the past few weeks, Rachel and I are missionaries in training, and we are planning. We've been halfway through our 4 years of missionary training this past year. Basically, there's 2 years of Bible, 2 years of practical skills before you can go overseas, and we are at the halfway point. We've done 2 years. And I really wanted to focus in on that for a second, because a lot of times we prep, as people, we prep with 4 years of schooling for a career or vocational training for a career that we work for, just as a way of life. And missions careers are no different. We prepare, we spend the time, we get the tool set, the skill set that we need in order to be successful wherever we end up overseas. So I wanted to take just a minute and explain a bit about our upcoming 2 years of more practical tools that we're going to pick up. We are going to central Missouri on the Lake of the Ozarks. I don't know if you've ever been there, but it's really beautiful right on the lake there. And they have the Ethnos 360 has a wonderful campus and a lot of volunteer missionaries who have been overseas, who have come back to equip the next generation of career missionaries that are going out. And so that's really important, because they take the lessons that they've actually learned on the field and they teach them to the next generation. So we're really looking forward to that. All the things that we don't know, those, you know, steps that God is going to plan, he has in mind for the future, he's going to be using faithful people who have been overseas to kind of instill that in us. And the training really focuses on four different categories, and I'll just highlight those really quick. Culture and language, church planting, Christian living, and practical skills. So for culture and language, basically everywhere in the world that does not have a Bible, does not have a church, the language is completely unknown, and their culture is unknown. And it's really significant and important to know their language, because you have to communicate with them in a way they'll understand, but also their culture. So, for instance, a lot of animistic tribal cultures, they believe in manipulating the spirits. And there's a lot of deception, there's a lot to parse there, but they essentially come into a Christian worldview, and if you're not careful, they can believe that maybe I need to manipulate God to get salvation or something like that. So you really got to know the kinds of things they believe in order to present a non-distorted gospel. You have to be super, super clear. So at the training center, they teach you how to learn and what cultural items are important to learn in order to present that gospel message in a non-distorted way. It's super, super important. It might be one of the most important things. The second area, church planting. This is that really core idea of what a church is. What is the irreducible minimum? What do you have to have a thriving, healthy church and a mature church? And so they walk through all of those things using biblical principles and training you in planting a church in a place that has not had a church yet. So that's super important. Christian living, this is also essential, because you are going overseas and you are learning all kinds of new things, new cultures. You're learning a language, and you really need to be solid in your Christian faith. You need to be solid in every other area, because if your marriage isn't healthy, if your, you name it, you need that stuff to be solid as possible. And these people that are mentoring us have been there. They know some red flags to look out for. They know ways in which they can build us up and strengthen us and prepare us for life overseas. So it's really important that they that we have having them look into our lives and really making sure that we are on the right track, because when you go overseas, it's a tremendous pressure cooker, and anything that's small over here, it's exponentially worse overseas. So it's really important. And then the practical skills. They have a couple of courses that I'm really looking forward to. I don't know entirely what they entail, but it sounds fun. For instance, they have what they call a simple living practicum. They essentially send you off into the most remote part of the property with the supplies that you can carry on your back. In some cases, the supplies that you can fit on a canoe to go across the lake there. And you have to set up your shelter. You have to set up your fire for cooking. You have to set up everything you possibly could need. And you have to work with your teammates, which is probably the most important part of that. Knowing your skills, knowing your limitations, knowing where other people can enable and help you to make it through. And that's probably the key item in the simple living practicum. So learning to allow others to work as well and to help you. The other thing that really interests me, actually, I went down to the training center in 2022 for a visit, and I saw the grounds, I saw some of their facilities, and they have this really cool thing called off-grid tech. And what that is, again, these are the most remote parts of the earth, so they set you up with the technology that you need to succeed. So, for instance, if you have a computer to help with your translation, or you have a washing machine maybe, or you have something that you need to power, they can set you up with a solar battery system. But they actually teach you how to do it. They teach you how to size your system. They teach you if you need a generator for backup. They walk you through all this, and that's what they call off-grid tech, your water filtration, you name it. There's a whole bunch of things that fall in that category, and I'm really looking forward to that particular class. So, and then lastly, so I've hit the four categories, but also I wanted to just really briefly mention this. As we are going through our training, one of the biggest questions we get from all of you and from pretty much anyone who talks to us is, do you have an idea of where you're going in the future? Where are you going after training? Do you have a spot in the world that you'd like to go? And yes, we have some ideas where we'd like to go, but it's, again, the heart of man plans his ways, the Lord establishes his steps. And one of the steps along the way is we have to come alongside a team, maybe, build some relationships with other people who are going, and they are going to have at our training center here, they're going to have what they call a field fair. That's actually where we meet people who are on the field, who are talking about some of the needs that some positions that they need to fill, and we will get to see firsthand, talk to these people, what do you need, and maybe pick a definite location towards the end of our training when we actually are going to have to finally make a decision. So I just wanted to say that we have ideas, but we're not concrete in where we're going. We're holding that loosely because we understand that a lot of things can change, and ultimately it's not the location we're going. We are serving in whatever way we can. So, and I think with that, Rachel is going to come up and give a little bit of some of our prayer requests and other anything I missed, really. Did I miss anything?
Not that I can think of. So a few prayer requests that we have right now is the biggest one, packing and moving is what we're in the middle of. And so today is their last day to pack everything up and clean our house, say goodbye to it. And tomorrow morning, four in the morning, we're going to get up and hit the road. And we're going to, I don't remember if you said, we're going to first go to Iowa, spend about a month there with my family, and then we're going to go to Missouri in August. So we're going to take about 3 days, we think, on the road. Olive has never made this trek, so she's kind of dictating where we make our stops and stuff like that. So yeah, hopefully that will all go well, and we would really appreciate your prayers for safe travels, just for everything to go smoothly. And then when we get to Bible school in August, I haven't sat in a class in about six years, and so it's going to be a new transition for me to go back into sitting in classes, taking notes, and doing homework and stuff like that. And Olive is going to go into daycare while we're in classes. And so if you could just pray for that big transition, moving in, starting classes, Olive starting daycare. It's just a lot going on. And so if you could just remember that in your prayers. We also have these fancy little prayer cards that if you find us afterwards, we'll give you one, or we'll have some by the door. Yeah, it has on the back a couple QR codes. We're trying to be like the kidders, be cool like them, only we have two QR codes instead of just one. So the top one is to sign up for our newsletter, and the bottom one is to give online through GracePoint, and it says to put our name in the comment section when you give. So if you have a smartphone, you could just open up your camera and point it at it, and a link should pop up for you to tap, and it'll send you to that website. So that's all I have.
I wanted to say one more thing. Gunnar talks about, someday when we're somewhere in the world and you can come visit us, but actually, we're going to be a little closer than that these next 2 years. So it's even easier for you if you think you have an excuse, you don't. Be sure to come to Central Missouri. They have RV sites with hookups. They have affordable guest housing. So there's really no excuse to not do a nice vacation in Central Missouri. So I wanted to just throw that out there. Don't wait until someday in the future when we're overseas. You can come now and sort of figure out if we're worth visiting. And I think with that, Gunnar, we're ready.
Okay, so now that we're transitioning to the part, I hope you guys have come up with stuff to say. We're going to do where we share things about them. And I've said a lot already. Does somebody want to start?
Oh, these guys. Awesome. Analytic things I enjoy. And that's why Isaac is intriguing to me. Typical of the Fredericks, he always steps up to bat, and he's trying. I know he's trying to catch up with Rachel, still. But I remember when we were doing a Celebrate Recovery, Rachel Conran and Brian Holmes and said, "Hey, Isaac, we do the worship." "Yeah, sure, no problem." That's just the typical. For Isaac, and he just has so much potential with his upbringing that it's really exciting to see what he's going to be doing.
Anyway, I just want to take first of all, I want to say, Rachel, I love you. It's so awesome. A year ago, Isaac showed up with this girl that we never saw before, and I tell you, you've really endeared yourself to this congregation. You're really part of us, so I'm really excited for that. And it's just awesome to watch you. I remember Isaac when you were just this little runt kid running around. So it just warms my heart to see how God's matured you and raised you into an adult and the one that's got such a strong desire to go serve Him. So I think that is so awesome. So my best of my blessings to you guys as you head out, and I'm looking forward to seeing what God does.
Rachel has joined a group of us ladies for our strength and friendship in the 6 o'clock hour, dumbbells in my garage. So it's been a strange time, but a great time of friendship. So we're going to miss you.
Well, Isaac, it's been so much fun getting to know you growing up and corralling you into a bunch of skits during summer nights. I think my favorite part of this last year is getting to know Olive. And I love just seeing her here every week. And she's just the cutest, happiest baby ever. And that's got to be such a reflection of the two of you. You know, it wouldn't happen without such great parents. And so I'll be praying for all of you to just have a wonderful future going forward, and look forward to seeing you and keeping in touch.
So I've got to know this young couple in the last couple of years. I remember when Isaac went off to meet Rachel, and he was our keyboard player and on. I didn't really know him. But as I've got to know him over the last year, he's helped me with so many things, come by and packed wheel bearings. He's a good mechanic. He's done a variety. And I found out that he works for flowers. Yeah. He'll trade labor for flowers. It's a good deal. But anyway, we're going to miss you. I've really developed a good friendship there, and pass this back on to.
We came to Grace Point right as Isaac was transitioning out. I think we were at maybe two services with Isaac, and I was like, "Where's Isaac going?" And everyone's like, "He's met a lady. He's moving to Iowa." And so I hadn't met Rachel. I barely knew Isaac, but I would hear about Isaac and Rachel from your family. And it was such a blessing to have you all come back for this last year and be on the worship team with you while you shared your amazing abilities with us, Isaac and Rachel, getting to know you, and the handful of times we spent time together. You have so much wisdom, and you are a woman who knows what you're pursuing and knows what you want, and it's so clear that God has convicted your heart in this journey. And I know Annabelle is going to miss her little youngest bestie, Olive, and they've really bonded, and we'll be praying for you and look forward to keeping.
I want to say everybody here pretty much knows you over time. I had the pleasure of meeting both of you as basically a stranger a year ago, and Olive, and you guys have an amazing ability to connect with people. I have always enjoyed talking to you and kind of hanging out a little bit with you. I wish you the very best, and just you will excel at whatever you do, wherever you go.
First of all, thank you very much for your love for each other, and what a blessing that God brought you two together to share a life together, to be one in a unification. What an honor to accept his challenge to shepherd his word in the world, and that heart and that desire that he gave you to share that great commission that he has charged us with, to accept such a hard career choice. Of course, if you look at every person's career, it's a hard career choice if you're going to continue to seek him and to know who you're truly working for. The blessings that you guys are just going to provide for people that haven't heard the word, or to support other missionaries throughout your walk with that, is such an honor for us to be able to come behind you, to rally behind you, to support you, to know that you have a great prayer team, but also to know that you guys are praying for us also. It's not a one-way street at all, and I'm just really thankful that the Lord has put this challenge on your hearts and that you guys have accepted us. And I thank you for our congregation that has accepted that challenge to support you through that, and may you truly be blessed through your walk in this adventure.
Okay, I would like to say that Pastor, about 3% of the churches out there do mission or support missionaries. The church I grew up supported missionaries. The Ridgeview in this church has supported missionaries, and that's what I like about this church. And I do. In my parents have supported missionaries, and I do believe that it is very important that we do, and I'm excited to see where the Lord will take you guys, and will take you. You will see some pretty hard stuff and some pretty cool stuff, and I love the how this church has setting an example for the next generation. That is why the kids are in here, to set examples. And I can say that because I'm a second generation of my parents
supporting missionaries, and I, and the people that give to the missionaries, the Lord blesses them, and I do believe that you are loved and supported, and you are a light in that darkness. It's very, very, very dark, but you are making an impact in those lives.
When are you guys moving to the training center, middle of August? Yeah. Okay. Oh, beginning of August. Okay. What's the square footage of your apartment?
We don't know yet.
Okay, so I will be dropping in unannounced for a week, maybe two. Gunnar gave me permission. He said we have to visit you. All right. Well, want to wish you all the best, and love you guys.
I actually have two things. First is to encourage you that no matter what the enemy throws at you, be willing to share it with others in your need, because it can get very dark if you don't. The other side is for the congregation here. I was a missionary who nobody wrote to, and it was very discouraging at times. And we need to, and I need to do this too, step up and write to our missionaries. Not just leave it on Pastor Gunner or Melanie, but each of us needs to be willing and support them in that way, because that's an encouragement. And I do remember that there was one lady who wrote to me all the time until she passed away. And that was the most encouraging person to me during my years. So please think about that. Pray about whether you should be writing to them, to one of our other missionaries, whatever, and stuff. But keep strong in the Lord, and he'll get you through even the rough times that the enemy throws at you.
I just want to say on behalf of our family, it's been so amazing to get to know you guys this year. We've just enjoyed your family so much. And I always want to send a special prayer for Rachel. Lord, just make sure that she always has amazing coffee, access to amazing coffee. She's gone down the coffee rabbit hole with me a couple of times. And Lord, I just keep her caffeinated and keep her happy, and just give them the little tiny blessings in life. Just drop them here and there. Just help them to enjoy all these fun little things that he has for us. So may you always be caffeinated and love it.
I just need to say, I could not be more proud. Love you guys.
Help us to support them in practical ways with finances and visits and whatever else they might need along the way. Lord, bless them as they go. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
And Father, we come before you and we lift this young family to you, Lord. We as a church offer them to you, Lord. We thank you for the calling that you have given them. We thank you for their perseverance so far over the last couple of years in pursuing this calling that they believe you have called them to. Father, I pray that as they transition from Valley Center to Missouri, Lord, that you would bless this time of travel, that it would be fun, that they'd have memories made in the midst of the sort of the chaos of moving, Lord, that they would find peace and have some fun. And Lord, I do pray that as they begin the next phase of training at the training center, that you'd use this time to prepare them and equip them. I pray that you would just bring together just other like-minded young families that they feel connected to, that they can grow in. I do pray for their marriage, Lord, that you would give them unity and that they would have just unity and conviction and their call and what they're to do. Father, I pray that you protect their marriage. I pray that you would help them to grow with one another as they grow closer to you. We do lift up young Olive to you. We thank you for the joy that she just radiates. And we pray that they would just be used by you, Lord, wherever you lead them. And I pray that you would help us as a congregation to come alongside and to support them well. We thank you that you've given us this opportunity to participate in the Great Commission in this way. And so we love you, Lord, and we pray this in Christ's good name. Amen.
All right, the first element of the Lord's Supper is as we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it's shown to us that this is a time for us to sort of get back to the basics. It's a time for us to sort of renew our walk with the Lord, to confess sin that's crept into our lives, to confess it. We're told in the scriptures, he is faithful to cleanse us, to forgive us, to renew our relationship with him. And so as the elements are going forward, this is a time that we can take just for reflection. And Father, we do thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you for your patience with us. We thank you that as we follow after you, we stumble, our flesh gets the best of us, Lord. We thank you that you are a kind and gracious God who loves us and is patient with us, and you forgive us. And I pray, Father, that you would help us to grow more sensitive to your voice, that we would be able to resist temptation better, that we would be able to be quick in our repentance and seeking to get right with you after we fall short. And we are reminded through this act of the Lord's Supper, we're reminded of who you are. And I thank you, Lord, for who you are, in Christ's name. So when we take communion, I love hearing all the kids. I know, like, I was a kid, it was torture sometimes to be in church, and I was like, I want a donut too, and I'm ready, like, I know, like, we're there, we're so close. But when we hold communion, what I'm reminded of is sacrifice. Like, there's sacrifice in what Christ did for us. He has called us to sacrifice for him, that he has paid it all, and all to him we owe. And one of the aspects is we do communion, it's we confess our sins, we're reminded of his broken body in the cracker, we're reminded of the eternal covenant, his blood that was shed for us. Often overlooked in communion, there's also we do this, like we're reminded to proclaim the Lord's death until he returns. So this is a reminder to us of the sacrifice we're supposed to make to him. When I was a young Christian and I was overseas, there was no church nearby, there was no fellowship, there was no music. There was no anything, and communion was one of those things that I longed to participate in this, and I found myself in the Middle East with some grape nuts and orange Gatorade, and that was my communion, listening to it on a CD, because I just longed for the fellowship. So I thought, I know we're a little bit longer today, but to have Isaac and Rachel with us, that we can all participate together, and also to plant the seed in your mind that where they're going, it's lonely. And we have an opportunity to support them in fellowship, and that's kind of what we're called to do. So with that, I'll pray. We can take communion, sing a last song, and then go get some donuts. All the kids deserve a donut. So, all right. So let's pray. Father, we do thank you and praise you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you again for what you're doing in our midst, this special day of sending Rachel, Isaac, and Olive out. Father, as we take the Lord's Supper, we desire to draw close to you. We desire to draw close to one another in fellowship. We are united in what you've called us to do. And so, Father, as we look at the sacrifice that you made for us, I pray that you would help us to see that which you have asked us to do in following you as something that's reasonable, an act of worship. We thank you, Father, for this relationship that we have, that you've provided through Christ. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love for us. And it's in Christ's good name I pray. Amen.